God is good. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. That's much better. Much better. And you said it like you meant it that time. I don't think there is any more important truth for the disciple of Christ to believe and hold dear in their heart than this, that God is good all the time. And I'll welcome you throughout the next 15 minutes or so as I speak. If I say that God is good, feel free to remind us all the time. If you believe that truth, you can weather any storm that life throws at you. But you have to believe it. And if you have to, and you have to own it, you have to own that truth for yourself. It's not something that you can just take at face value. It's not something that can be passed on in a classroom. It's something that each of us must experience for ourselves. Others can tell us that God is good. And we can believe them, but we need to know this truth experientially in order for it to be a bulwark against any and all trials and troubles that will come our way. And you know that trials will come our way in this life. That's for certain. I had a sermon prepared for you today. But at midnight last night, as I sat down, lay down actually in bed, and I had my computer in front of me and my wife was asleep, and I was going over the sermon one last time, practicing it, the Lord just put something completely different in my heart. And I said, okay, delete. I believe the Lord led me to a scripture passage, and it changed everything that I had planned. I can tell you that it can be just a little bit disconcerting to know that you have about 6.5-7 hours before you have to speak and not have a clue what the Lord has put on your heart. But it was okay. It was all right. Because I have learned for myself, and I know that God is good all the time. And that if he wants something different spoken today, that's just fine. I trust that he will give me the words that he wants me to say, not the words that I thought I should say. And do you know why I believe this? You know how I know this is true and why I didn't panic at midnight last night? Because the Lord has done this to me a lot of times in the past. And he's given me far less time to prepare in the past. And he has never, ever left me hanging. Never. Praise God. That's my experience of God in this matter. No man taught me that. That's something the Lord himself has taught me. He has proven himself faithful to me time and time again over the course of 2 decades of walking with him. And as I prepared devotionals and sermons in the past, and my wife can testify, sometimes literally minutes before I'm supposed to share, I've taken them and ripped them up or crushed them and thrown them on the floor and gone up cold, just trusting that the Lord had something different for me to speak. And he's never let me down, never let me hanging. So at 12:22 a.m., when I came to this part, as I was writing things down, I knew that God had it all under control. And I had confidence, because quite frankly, whatever he would have for me to say, whatever it is, as long as it was pleasing to him, that's all I cared about. I just wanted it to be pleasing to him. That's something I learned from a good brother many, many years ago, and a lesson I have to continually remind myself of, that when I speak or when any of us speaks, as long as we speak what the Lord would have us to speak, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about it. I used to ask him, how was that? Was it good? And he'd go, as long as it was what the Lord had for you, it's all that matters. Now, don't ask me anymore. Now, the scripture that God reminded me of is Psalm 34. So if you'd like to turn to Psalm 34, I invite you to do so. Or if you'd like to just listen, that would be fine as well. I'd like to read it and make a few comments along the way, if I might. This is a psalm of David, which he wrote after he had been captured and escaped from the Philistines. And David begins, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I had to look up the word extol. I kind of knew what it meant, but I wasn't sure. But it means to give great praise, exuberant praise. For the guys here, you would understand, if you saw the Jets game last week, overtime, final drive, boom, touchdown, great. You know, you just speak to the Jets, they're great, the Jets, oh my goodness, the Jets are so great. Not really. Sorry, Joe, it's true. But God is great. All the time. All the time, he's great. In verse 2, he says, I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. To glory in the Lord. To honor God. To have such high regard for God. To brag about his achievements. And to be proud by association. Like we sang, you are my God. This is our God. This is what my God has done. He says in verse 3, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. David is moved and he wants others to come along and enjoy and join in this praise of God. And now David's going to do something different. He's going to tell us why we will extol God. We just did it. We just sang songs. We extolled God. We talked about him. We gave praise to him. But we need to know why. People need to hear why. And that's what David does here. There's a reason that he is driven to give glory to God and to give him honor and praise. And he wants the reader or the singer or the listener, because this is a psalm, he wants them to know. This is his motivation. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. This is David's experience of God, his personal experience. This is the goodness and faithfulness of God that drives this psalm. I believe it's more than just what's taken place in the last year of David's life. I believe it's what's taken place in all of David's life. He's seen God as good. He's seen God as faithful. God has always been there for him. In verse 5, he says, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. David's experience was that when he looked to the Lord, he was encouraged, enlightened, and infused with strength and confidence. He knew from experience that to trust in the Lord was the wisest thing he could do. And he knew that those who trust the Lord would never be put to shame. In verse 6, he says, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He's speaking of himself. And he says he saved him out of all his troubles. Speaking third person. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Once again, David repeats the reason why he's extolling the wonders of the Lord. He called out to God, and God heard him, and he delivered him from the Philistines, his enemies. But I think that, again, this goes way back in David's life, not only to what he has experienced himself, but what he's heard of the Lord and what great things that God has done. David references the angel of the Lord encamping around those who fear him. And it harkens us back to the days of the Exodus, when the angel of the Lord protected the Israelites, when they were coming out of Egypt, and Pharaoh and his armies were right on their heels. And the angel of the Lord came around the camp of Israel and came between them and the armies of Pharaoh and protected them. And the angel of the Lord continued to encamp around them as they wandered through the desert, as a cloud by day protecting them from the heat and showing them where to go, and a pillar of fire by night giving them light in the darkness. This, says David, is what God does for those who fear him, those who honor God with a life of obedience. Finally, David gets to the part that we will focus on today. Verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Amen. David has experienced deliverance from his enemies, and he attributes this deliverance to the Lord. In response, he praises the Lord exuberantly in song and in speech. This is the proper response to a wonderful move of God in one's life. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says this, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's so much Paul says, that we should be thankful for. We should have constant praise on our lips for our great God and for all he's done. Not just our salvation, which alone is more than enough, but there's so many things that we have to be thankful for. So many times and issues in our life where we could praise God because he showed up. This should be our experience of God on a regular basis. Filled with the Spirit and praising God for who he is and what he has done. David also desires others to know what the Lord has done so that they too can praise the Lord along with him. And there's more. He wants others to experience the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And this can only come through a personal encounter with the Lord. So in verse 8, he invites the reader, again, or the singer or listener, to taste and see for themselves that the Lord is good. And as an encouragement, he reminds us that everyone who seeks refuge in the Lord will be blessed. This is what I needed to share with you today. That God is good all the time. And that all the time God is good. I believe this is to be true. I believe it in my heart. Because I have experienced God's goodness and faithfulness throughout my life. Even before I knew who he was. That's not to say I don't have troubles. We all have troubles. David speaks of this in verse 17 of this psalm. In verse 17 he says, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles." In verse 18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Certainly there are those who are brokenhearted here. Certainly there are those who have been crushed in their spirit. The Lord is near. He wants to lift us up. He wants to rescue us. In verse 19, "The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." David believed in the goodness of God, and he trusted in God's unfailing love. It's the Hebrew word hesed, unfailing love. As I shared with the early service, I believe it's the most beautiful word in the Hebrew language, the unfailing love of God. I want us to experience the goodness and unfailing love of God as well. So I'm going to follow David's example, and I'm going to tell you of just one of the many examples of how God has shown himself to be good and faithful in my life. And then I'm going to invite you to come forward, or actually maybe I'll take the mic to you, and give you the opportunity to share what God has done good and wonderful things in your lives. And the purpose of this exercise is so that we may glorify the Lord together and to sing his praises together and to encourage one another. And also, perhaps to encourage others who have not yet tasted and seen that the Lord is good, have not experienced his goodness in their lives, so that they too would know the sacred truth that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So I think I had a list here of various stories, and I wasn't sure which to share. And this morning, the early service, I shared a story about a gentleman named Jorge, and I think I'll share that story again. Jorge is a man that I met in Hempstead doing street outreach. Jorge was a town drunk. Jorge was a very friendly drunk. He was a very happy man, a very kind man, a gentleman, and just a generally nice guy. And I really appreciated knowing him. As I said, Jorge was always inebriated. And when we do our Tuesday night outreaches, he was always there. He was a fixture at these outreaches. One night as we were closing up, and I was getting ready to leave and get into the van to go, I looked over to the side and I saw Jorge sitting on the floor in the corner of a building. And he was in rags, and he had a bottle on his lap, which he usually did, and he was drunk, as he usually was. And I acknowledged him, and he acknowledged me. And then I just had this leading to go pray for Jorge. And I was obedient to that leading. And I went over and I kneeled down next to him and I said to him, "Jorge, is this what you want of your life?" And Jorge, I got to describe him to you. He always called me Bobby. He said, "Hey, Bobby, hey." That's how he talked to me. And he said, "No, Bobby, he's not, no, no." And I said, Jorge, can I pray for you? And he said, yes. And he put the bottle down. And I put my hand on his shoulder and I began to pray. And I honest to God, I don't remember what I prayed. I don't know if I remember what I prayed 2 minutes after I prayed it. The words just flowed. And I do know that I asked God to set him free. Set him free from what the life he was living and give him the life that God had promised us. The abundant life in Christ. That's what I asked for. And when I finished, whatever else I said, I don't know. But when I finished, I could tell you this, I was crying and he was crying. And I said goodnight to him and I left. And when I came back the next Tuesday night, he wasn't there. And I was a little concerned because, like I said, he was a fixture. But I figured maybe he went somewhere else to eat. Who knows? But then the second week I came back and he wasn't there. And I was a little concerned. And I asked, has anyone seen Jorge? And nobody had seen him. The third week I came back and he still wasn't there. And now I was very concerned. And by the fourth week, I was afraid that something bad had happened. Nobody had seen him. No one knew what had happened to him. It happened to be my night to share, so I was sharing the word. And I happened to notice a man who was standing maybe 20, 30 feet away from me, and he was very well dressed, white button-down shirt, black slacks, shined black shoes, well-groomed, nice haircut. I thought to myself, this man is completely out of place. Maybe he's a salesman who just happened to be passing by. I don't know who he was, but he was standing there, and he was listening attentively to what I was saying. So when I finished, I walked toward him to introduce myself, and he walked toward me, and I put out my hand and began to say, hello, I'm Bob. And he said, Bobby. And I was dumbfounded. And I said, Jorge, what happened to you? And he said, the next morning, after we had prayed, he said, I got up. Walked across the street to the little church that was there. I knocked on the door. The man answered the door. I said, can you help me? And that man gave me clothes. I got a shower. I got a shave. He took me for a haircut. He gave me some money. He gave me some work. And he says, and ever since then, I've been putting my life back on track. Thanks to the Lord. See, that's what our Lord can do. That's what he's capable of. And I didn't do anything. All I did was answer that little voice in my head saying, go pray. Just go pray for him. That's all I did. I was just obedient to that much. And he did everything. So I'm going to invite you now. I'm going to invite you to come. Or actually, let me just take the microphone and I'm going to come out to you. And I hope that the Lord has done something in your lives that you would like to share with us, that you can lift up his name and give praise to his name, and that we can all rejoice in how good our God is.
What you shared, and
just one thing, please, so we have time for others.
Not too long. Yeah. warning me because I have a long story. So that's kind of cool what you were saying about prayer, because what I have to share has to do with prayer, and this is really pretty amazing. Like, it happened 2 days ago. We were at my father-in-law James's office, and there's furniture in there that we needed to get rid of to donate to someone who was there in the garage with us, and we were looking through, and Dave went inside for a minute, and they hadn't arrived yet, and so I just went in to ask him a question, and when I came back outside, it's on Larkfield Road, James's office, so it's, storefronts everywhere, and when I came back outside, I'm like, that's kind of weird. Some guy was running past the garage through the bushes, and I'm like, oh, maybe he stole something out of the garage, but he doesn't know we're trying to get rid of everything in the garage so he could have it. I'm like, that's kind of weird. And so the people arrive that we're giving the furniture to. We load stuff in the car, and we go to get back. I go back, get back in the car, and I'm like, where's my pocketbook? And I'm like, oh my goodness, that cheese ball, he stole my pocketbook. That's what he took. I'm like, I can't believe this. So I start praying, and I'm like, oh, Lord, you know, please help me find my pocketbook. And I said to Dave, let's go follow him. It was like a half an hour later, and I'm like, I bet you he just tossed my pocketbook He took the money and tossed my pocketbook in a dumpster or something. So we're walking through, like, the backs of, like, you know where Smoker Burger is on Larkfield Road? And we're walking through the backs of the parking lots, looking through dumpsters, looking through garbage cans. And I'm praying out loud now. I'm like, Jesus, please help me find my pocketbook. And there was one of the parking lots, there was a car parked kind of halfway through the parking lot. And Dave was a little behind me looking in a dumpster, and I went along the side. There were a bunch of garbage cans, looked through them, didn't see anything, came around the other side of the car, and there on the ground was my pocketbook. And I was like, oh, thank you, God. I'm like, well, the cash is probably going to be gone, but I hope my ID and my credit card, everything was in my pocketbook. And I was like, oh, thank you so much, Jesus. And just like I found my pocketbook, could we please find Cody? I think all of us, most of us have been praying for Cody Miller, was missing. And I thought immediately of Luke 15, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. And I was like, as much as I want this pocketbook back, could we please find Cody? And it was that night that God, like, brought him back to his family. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And so I went and read that passage later that night. And I just love God. Well, all right, I don't want to read it because I got to give other people a turn. So God is awesome, and he answers our prayers, and I just want to give him glory and thank him.
I got all day.
This is not something I usually do, but my day today started out very different than I ever expected. For the longest time, I've had a neighbor next door to me who was off and on, not doing very well. And just to make a long story short, I could say a lot of things. But I would say to her every so often that the Lord knows all about it, and the Lord is going through this with you. But she always had these questions as to why is this happening to me? Well, I went away over Christmas, and I found out through someone called me and said that Gerda had been taken to the hospital on December 23rd. So as soon as I came back, which was on the 29th, I went there to the hospital, and I still spoke to her about the Lord, and but she didn't give me too much response. And I was just praying that she would make a commitment in her heart. Well, this morning started out like I usually do. I got ready for Sunday school and studied a little bit on the what we were talking about last night. When I get a phone call at about 8:15, and it's her son calling me and telling me that things are not looking good, and if I wanted to come down there to see her. So I rushed down there, and when on the way down there, I'm saying to myself, what am I going to do? I have to say something. I have to do something, because her two sons and daughter-in-laws, they, as far as I know, they do not attend church, and they are not walking with the Lord. So I'm saying to myself, Lord, you have to help me to do this. So I get down there, and I see that things are going very bad. So they had said to me that someone asked if they could, they want the last rites, that they said no. So I go there, and so I'm saying, what am I going to say here? So anyway, I took out my little testament, and I read to her from Psalm 23. And these people, I don't think that they're used to hearing someone pray. So I said, I'd like to pray. So I prayed for them, and for their families, and I thank the Lord that I was able to be there, and I'm trusting that at the last moments of her life, that Gerda knew that the Lord was with her, and he was taking her home to himself. So it was a different kind of a morning, but I'm thanking the Lord that I was able to be there and to witness to the Lord's goodness.
talk right now, but on the 23rd of December, my son went missing. He left a note, and it wasn't a good note. So we started searching for him, and put together quickly. We called up the police. We put up a missing persons notice, and started searching high and low. Started praying and asking friends to help us. Days went by, and immediately we put together like a task force for missing persons in our dining room. And put up a Facebook page. If you want to know more details about it, it was www.facebook.com/helpfindcody. And we were searching all over the place. We were searching in Suffolk, in Nassau, in New York City. And we had laptops all over our living room and dining room, and we had people calling in. I made postcards, and we were handing them out to anyone we saw, the police, the MTA, and Suffolk Police, Nassau Police. And the website went up, and it was amazing, just all the people who volunteered to help. It went up to like 45,000 people in just a short period of time. And we thought he was going to hurt himself, and we didn't know where to look. So it was just amazing how God provided for us. I'd wake up around 7:30 in the morning, and I would search and coordinate till about 4:30 in the morning. And then I'd wake up at 7:30 in the morning and work all day till about 4:30 in the morning. And it's just amazing how all these people, when I would look at the Facebook page for leads and tips, people from our church and people from all over were posting these little statements to stay faithful. And it was encouraging. We ultimately found him on the 30th. I didn't find him. It's interesting how God works. It's amazing how God works. There were all kinds of miracles that were performed. I'm not going to go into them, but I will say that he was found by one of his fellow Sunday school students, one of my Sunday school students, and he was a John Doe. If it wasn't found the way he was found, we would have continued to search for weeks, maybe months. And just to give you an idea of what type of situation we've been dealing with, Russell Crowe did a movie. I think it's called A Beautiful Mind. You can watch that movie. It'll give you a little insight as to what was going on in my son's mind and what's still going on in his mind. But I'd like to just read you a verse that a couple of years ago, I record things to myself. I've went through some hard times. And one of the verses that I recorded to myself, and then I explained what my feelings and what I felt about this verse. It was Haggai. What a goofy name. Chapter 2, and it's verse 4 and 5, and I basically just picked out certain statements that jumped out to me. It says, "Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. And everyone wakes up to an alarm clock. Well, I set that as my ringer on my alarm so that every morning when I wake up, I hear my voice talking to me. And it's these words. And I just remember every morning hearing my words, which were God's words, and they encouraged me. But I just wanted to say, I made some thank you cards, and I'm going to put these on the back. And they're for you who prayed for me, my son, and my family. So we still got a long way to go, but I know God's going to be with us. So thank you.
Thanks, Rand. Okay, so I don't usually do this, but I just had to say that this morning was a little bit of a amazing blessing for me. I don't think ever my three kids have been up and giving praise and glory to the Lord together in song. And that was really, as a mom who prays for kids every day, that was really quite wonderful. And I give all the praise and glory to God for that, not to the kids, but to what God has done. 2015, as my daughter said, is kind of one of those years that we would like to forget in many ways. Our family was touched by some not so great things in 2015, touched by some physical illnesses and some emotional problems as well, and depression has hit our family too. And but even through those things, I have seen the faithfulness of God, and I have seen His goodness and what He's done in my family. I know that we have challenges ahead of us, for sure. But one of my verses that I think the Lord led me to, and yeah. Glasses now, kids. Sorry. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. And that call to me is really translated cry out to me, and He will answer us. And I give praise and glory to God for that. I know He will do that in my family and in this church.
Say that this God, every morning God gives us something new, and I'd like to share something old. I had my first Bible teacher was Joan Alberti, and she used to always say to me, taste and see that the Lord is good. She said it all the time, and I love this verse. And I just want to share, when my son Joseph, many of you knew, when he was going through his before he passed away about 10 years, he was just amazing. Never complained, always lifted me up. And when my son passed away, my husband passed away 5 months later. And I was brokenhearted. About 3 months later, a couple of weeks later, I wake up one morning, I had this joy. I couldn't tell anybody because I just lost my son and my husband. And it lasted such a long time, too. So I did taste and see that the Lord is really good, and today is our anniversary.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I know, right? Typical.
As many of you, I've always struggled with my finances, trusting God in that area, and God has continuously been awesome to me this year with that. He's taken away a lot of things, but he's given a lot more. The one thing that I wanted to share with you was an incident that occurred early this summer. Our bank account got hacked right after a paycheck. They took everything. I mean, it was all gone. And I'm not the greatest with finances, and I know that normally when I get paid by the end of the next week, a little bit before my next paycheck, it's starting to get low. Well, God saw us through, and he took that money. Because that next week, I was down, you guys don't know Florida, but I was down in Boca Raton about an hour and a half away from home, and our car just died. Just completely shut down, no more, can't go anywhere. And it was that day, I think, that God put the money back in our account, which was the exact amount that we needed to be able to pay for that car to be repaired. So it's just cool. It was a cool thing to watch, you know, just to trust that this bad thing that happened, this money that we needed to keep going, he gave back because he knew what was going to come and when we would need it. So I wanted to share that.
And now comes the exciting part. If you look under your seats, there's a secret tag, and you have to give a testimony. No, I'm just kidding. So, we've heard some good testimonies about the goodness of God. And I hope that you were encouraged. I was encouraged. But more importantly, I hope that you will seek to know and experience God for yourselves. I hope that these testimonies have whet your appetite for more of God. I hope that your eyes will be open and searching for those, what somebody called the God incidents, or those incidents where God is working incognito in your life, because he's always at work. And I hope that you will begin to accumulate for yourselves personal testimonies of the goodness of God in your lives and the lives of those you love and friends and family. So the next time you hear someone say that God is good, you will be able to say that from your heart. Let's just pray for a moment. Father God, we do thank you and praise you. You are so good to us. And undoubtedly, Lord, there are times that you have worked in our lives, many times that we didn't even know it. We were totally unaware. And yet you are so good and faithful to us. And I would imagine when we come to that place in glory where we see you, you'll reveal those times to us, and they'll give us all the more reason to give you glory, honor, and praise. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.